Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you joining with us. Today, Jim Barber continues his study in Mark's Gospel on the life of Christ. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, for a message entitled, Sowing the Word. Lord, we come with hearts that are hungry to be fed by you. As we open your holy word, may we know your refreshing and strengthening power by what we hear and what we receive from your gracious hand. It is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we make this request. Amen.
Reading from Mark chapter 4 and verses 1 to 20. Jesus began to teach again by the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. And he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road when the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is likely one of the better known of Jesus' parables. The picture of the sower that goes forth to sow the seed. Some of the other parables we struggle to get a handle on. For instance, the unjust manager, the unjust steward. How often people have struggled with that parable. But here, the sower and the soils, it is much more direct. And we wonder, though we've heard it time and time again, and it's been explained repeatedly, and so we are at a definite advantage, we wonder how that the followers of Jesus, along with the 12, it wasn't just the 12 here, but there was a company, not the huge crowd, but there was a larger gather than just the dozen, how that they didn't see what Jesus was talking about here. Jesus, he's doing what he did so frequently. Along with miracles, Jesus taught the people, and accompanying that teaching was a very large crowd. The people, they were drawn to what Jesus had to say, and there was a natural gathering of the people, them setting aside whatever else it was that was on their to-do list for that day, that they might gather and listen to Jesus. He's down by the seashore, along the Sea of Galilee. He's been recently in his hometown of Capernaum, and now he's in that idyllic seaside bit of territory where he enjoyed spending so much of his time and where so much rich instruction was given. A large crowd. How the crowds beckon, how the crowds could confuse the matter, how the crowds could also be confused at times. Jesus, he gets into a boat, and the crowd is sitting there by the seashore, by the edge, listening as Jesus' voice drifts out and they soak it in. And he teaches them here, as elsewhere, in these stories, these accounts, a heavenly meaning with an earthly understanding, something very plain, something very ordinary, something that people gravitate towards. They've seen it many times. A sower going out into the field to sow, having a bag slung over his shoulders, and with his hands digging in and very carefully spreading the seed. And the more time that he's done that, the better he is at making sure that there is an even distribution as he goes along. They had all seen it. Even the kids, they had seen the sower pick up the bag and go out to sow in eager hope and anticipation that in a few months' time, there would be a return, and that there would be more food than there was at present. Listen to this, Jesus says. The word of God is written that there might be an understanding and that there might be an attraction. Jesus, he calls to the people to listen. The sower went out to sow, and he starts to spread that seed. But as careful as he is, he wants to make sure that he makes use of all of the land that is available. And through that land, there are some patches where it is good, rich soil. Having been raised in Manitoba and the black stuff that we walk on as soil, it's always strange to me when I visit other parts of the world and it's red or it's some other color, and I wonder, how can anything grow in that stuff? It needs to be black if it's going to really bring forth in an abundant manner. But the sower, he goes out and starts spreading his seed. And Jesus, he talks about six different kinds of soil. Three which have a negative return. There is a loss of the investment that is made in those parts of the field. And then there are three soils which more than make up for the loss of that road or the rocky soil or the thorns, more than make up for it. so that the man is happy to go out each year in order to sow the seed. Soil number one. Jesus talks about some seed falling beside the road. And the problem here is that it was easily accessible by the birds. And the birds, they descend. They follow after this man with his bag. They have an understanding within their tiny little brains that there is food for them there. And they descend and they gobble it up and it's gone. And there is no return. There is no hope of any harvest there. The man keeps on going and he continues to toss his seed from his bag. Other seed, it falls upon the rocky ground and there's just the bare minimum of soil. And at first, there is the hope that there might be something because very quickly there is a response from the ground. However, there was no root that was going down. The rocks were prohibiting the root from taking form. There was no depth of soil. The sun is the problem here. The sun, which blesses and which gives light, is also that heating agent whereby a scorching effect takes place. The man continues on, and some seed happens to go among the thorns. And those thorns, as mighty and as powerful as they are, they rise up, and Jesus gives the picture of the thorns coming around the seed and around those fledgling plants in order to choke it, to strangle it, to deny it from the sustenance and from the life which it otherwise might exhibit. So there's the road, and the birds are the problem. There's the rocky soil, and the lack of root is the problem. There's the thorns, and there is a choking. There is a denial of that which is good for the life of the seed. But Jesus also said there were some seed which fell into soil of a very different kind. Some of the seed fell into ground whereby there was nutrient and there was all that was needed. There was a depth of soil and there was the right mixture of moisture and sunshine so that in some parts there was a 30-fold return. How I would like to go to the bank and to have some kind of return like that on an investment. Or 60-fold return. But Jesus wasn't done. He says, some parts of the field, there was a 100-fold return. Amazing. And Jesus, he says to those who were gathered, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it seems that the crowd goes away. Maybe there was more instruction given that day. Undoubtedly there was. But later on, he was alone and his followers, as I say, this is not just the 12. It says his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you, you have a very great privilege indeed. To you has been given a mystery. It is the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, they get everything in parables, and the reason being, so that while seeing, they may see, but not really get to the heart of it, and while hearing, they may not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. Does that mean that God is saying, okay, look, us four, no more, amen. Let the blessing be on just this select little group, this little bunch. But Jesus, he is pushing the people to say, look, what you don't understand, are you ready to dig for it? Are you ready to seek first the kingdom of God? Are you ready to really put down your root and to dig in? Are you ready to seek and find? But here, he says, verse 13 of Mark chapter 4, he says to them, do you not understand this parable? And he's saying exactly what I was hinting at. How will you understand all the other parables? And he says the sower sows the word. This isn't an agricultural story. This is about spiritual realities. This is about truth that has a deeper meaning to it. The sower, he sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the seed, where the word rather, is sown. And they hear, oh Jesus, I'm sure he could add names, he could add faces jumping in front of him of people who had just been there. They had heard rich truth. And yet they were like these people beside the road. Curious, interested in what was going on, interested in the stories, and perhaps able to share with others. Perhaps there was a memory and a recollection of what was said. And yet, in the end of the day, they were like those just sitting beside the road where the word was sown. And immediately Satan descends upon them and takes the word which has been sown in them. Perhaps it could have brought forth a great harvest. But the deceiver, the accuser, he comes in and he does what he does so well and brings confusion. And he takes away that good word which has been sown in them. That was the ones by the road, Satan, like the birds which descend as vultures to take away whatever they possibly could. Jesus says in verse 16, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. They hear the word, and with joy they receive it. How often I have seen this taking place. And it is a sad, sad thing. Very often I have come to the conclusion, better that a person come with long, sad face, rather than that they hear the word and that they immediately brighten up. As with Paul in Romans, he first of all takes us down a very dismal road. You begin reading Romans, and if you're hoping for the 8th chapter to come at the very beginning, where it speaks of such lofty, exalted truth, you are sorely disappointed. For Paul in chapters 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, where he describes that we are all undone and that we are all lost in our sin, that we are all under the heavy condemnation of God. How often people, when they come and they light up, and I wonder, did you really hear what was said? Did you hear the call of the gospel? Did you hear Jesus when he spoke to the people, whoever would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow? Or did you just hear that you can have all of your sins forgiven, that you can have a gold mansion in heaven, and that you can have an easy ride through this world? Did you not hear that in this world you will have trouble? But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The very words of Jesus. How many people, when they have heard the word, they are exactly of this kind. They receive it with joy. And I have seen them go on to memorize scripture, and I have seen them sitting in church, and I have seen them starting to take steps of service and being a blessing to others. But alas, alas, difficulty comes along. And there has been no root that has gone down. There is no firm holding power. That joy, which was ever so temporary, is gone in a moment. Affliction, persecution arises because of the word. And immediately, just as immediately as they received it with joy, immediately they fall away and are gone. Jesus then clarifies about the thorns. And he says, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. And these are the ones, they have also heard the word. The word has come into contact with them. Just as the seed touched upon the path, and just as the seed touched upon that rocky soil, so the seed comes among the thorns. It comes. It's there. But there is a problem. You see, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And very often people have a desperate difficulty with this, that we are not instantly translated, we are not instantly transported out of this world to glory when we receive Christ, when we surrender ourselves to Him. Part of this world is its worries. Part of this world is the deceitfulness of the things of this world and how that they attract and allure, they draw us away so easily. Jesus says the worries of this world, the cares, the concerns of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and how that we can be drawn towards them, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. The word which ought to be elevated and held up, all of a sudden it starts to dwindle and it takes a secondary place or a very minor place. And all of the things of this world continue to be elevated because they are ever present, they are pressed in. And unless the word is exalted in our lives and in our hearts, unless we are feeding upon it, unless we are strengthened by it, there is this constant diminishing of the word. Jesus said, this is something that has tripped up many, and they become unfruitful. But then Jesus, he comes after this longer explanation about these three very key problems, he then comes back to that kind of soil that we pray to be. And many times on a Sunday, I've prayed, Lord, may your word so come upon good soil. And this is exactly what we mean. May we not be as the soil of the path, hard-packed, impenetrable. May we not be as the soil of the rocky ground where there is no ability to put down those vital roots whereby we might be sustained, whereby we might be supplied with nutrients and moisture, whereby we might grow and remain. And Lord, may we not be as those that seed, that word, which was placed among the thorns. And all of this world, it comes and it wants to wrap its tentacles around us. It wants to wrap its hands around our throat and choke the life from us. Jesus then, he says, and those are the ones on whom seed was sown on that good soil. That soil that the farmer would like his entire land to be. For there to be no thorns and for there to be no rocky places, for there to be no hard pack ground, but that every acre, every last square inch might bring forth a harvest. And Jesus says, they hear the word, they hear the word, and accept it and bear fruit. You see, it's one thing for us to receive the word, for us to hear the word, for us to have a academic or a cranial knowledge of the word. In reading through the Gospels once again, I've been struck how often Jesus, he spoke to the people, such as at the end of Mark chapter 3, the people said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers, they're just outside. They want to chat with you. And Jesus says, look, here's my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. It's one thing to be filled with knowledge. What a different thing it is for us to put it into action in our daily conversation to just one person at home or at the office. For you to have integrity when there is no one watching over your shoulder. Jesus, at the end of Matthew chapter 7 and at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke of those who were wise and foolish builders. The wise man built his house upon a solid foundation. The idiot thought, this is a good place. Look at all this great sand. This is just going to be great for the kids. They can play. No foundation. And the rains came, and the floods, the winds. The man who had built his house upon a solid foundation, he was still there after the storm. The man who thought, oh, this is going to be just so easy. I'm going to be done ever so quick. And he built on the sand. He was gone just as soon as the storm hit town. And Jesus said, let my word not just come to your ears or to your brain cells, let it affect every last part of you. Those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil.
Thank you for joining us today for Hearts to Believe. Be sure to be back next Sunday as Jim pursues this study in Mark's Gospel in the coming weeks and months. If you enjoy great music, you will want to ask for our latest music CD, Tears Are a Language God Understands. We mail this out free and postage paid. Ask for your copy of Tears Are a Language God Understands when you write to us at Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6. Or call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. And be sure to visit us online at heartstobelieve.ca. Again, keep watch as we eagerly await the blessed hope, the glorious and soon appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.